I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to the Drunk Time AFL Podcast for round 7, 2020. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who regrets streaking at Optus Stadium on Thursday night. It's Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, g'day, Michael. What a fantastic week of football, weekend of football we have had. And I got to say, I'm disappointed in myself, to be honest. Like, I just got overwhelmed. I got excited, Michael, because for the first time I was allowed to go to a game of footy. I snuck into WA and I kept it low-key. So there's a lot, it's a big border and they can't keep an eye on all of it, right? And so I just sort of, the corner, you know where Northern Territory and South Australia and WA meet?
Ah, yeah, sure. Yeah, and I've been there quite a few times.
Yeah, so I kind of, I crossed there. I won't say how I got there, but let's just say.
They need to build a wall. That's all I'm saying.
Mate, the wall isn't going to stop my Zeppelin.
They need to build a wall and Tasmania pays for it.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I got to Optus Stadium Thursday night because I love seeing a ding-dong battle between Geelong and Collingwood in WA. That's my favourite game of the year. I look forward to it ever since I've been a little tacker. And it got towards the end of the game and I thought, fucking hell, this is fun. But I'll tell you what everyone would want now that, you know, sure, the restrictions are there. It's only a half-full stadium. There's gaps. Every second aisle was empty just to make sure that social distancing was done. And so I took my top off because I was going to wrap it around my head, so, you know, like a mask. And that came off as I jumped the fence and I ran out there. And I tell you what, those security guards over in Perth, they are fucking quick, my friend.
They are pacey, aren't they?
They're excited. Oh, they mowed me down. I didn't even get to the 50.
They're real excitement machines over there.
Oh, they're unbelievable. It turned into a foot race. I couldn't even get out to the fat side of the ground. And they brought me down. And as I was getting dragged off, now, a lot of junk timers don't realize that I had grown some dreadlocks for the occasion. I looked a lot different than I normally do.
Yeah.
And as I was coming off, I thought, you know, it'll be even more fun. I'll try and get my gear off. I'll try and get my pants off.
That's right.
And they kept pulling my pants up. That fucking killjoys.
That was, yeah, I mean, in what kind of world do we live in where a man can't show his penis to a few thousand people?
Yeah, in front of, women, children and families. Why can't you get your cock out? That is, it's just PC gone mad is what it is.
It was pretty funny because, yeah, he did go on with a shirt and then as the footage shows, I think it's on Instagram accounts, I can't mention be on the networks, but...
Did he go out without a shirt, with a shirt on?
Oh, I've only seen the ending where, I mean, I only watched the best bits where he's trying to get his cock
out. Yeah, okay, yeah. So as far as I know, topless pants on.
Well, a picture of him tackled here and he's not wearing a shirt.
Good. And yeah, good. Because otherwise, I think what you're mistaken, and this is on the media, there's a difference between a streaker and a pitch invader. And he was a pitch invader. A streaker, to me, denotes that he has no clothes on.
Yes.
Is that the same for you?
I think that's fair to say, yes. And he appears
so just because they're on the ground does not mean they're a streaker. Get your fucking terms right, AFL press.
He appears to be wearing jeans as well. So then the other footage I saw is that when he's probably about 20 metres from the boundary line, he's struggling to try and get his pants down. And they're kind of trying to hold them up, I suppose.
So he's gone out to the middle. He's gotten tackled. He's coming off and he's gone, ah, fuck. I didn't get to do what I want to do. I'm going to try it anyway.
I didn't.
Imagine that.
Live out my childhood dream.
Yeah. So because Australia is pretty much still heavily in quarantine, and the interesting thing with that game was Collingwood and Geelong, because they hadn't served 2 weeks over there, were still in quarantine. Mm-hmm. So the only people that could go out on the ground were people who were also in quarantine. So that, to me... I found that really strange. So basically it's saying that these guys were still in their 14-day
I
suppose.
Yeah, and they say they don't let anybody on the ground
four
hours before the game.
Yeah.
And so it's a Victorian man who I believe has a short term of work in Mandurup, I believe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And he thought, I mean, I'm here working. It's pretty stressful. I need to blow, need to blow some steam off. And so he decided to attempt to get his penis out at a football stadium.
Now, just a quick question without notice. Oh, no, go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, I hate a question without notice, but I'll put up with it this time.
If the players were in quarantine and then they kick the ball into the crowd and someone marks it, is that person then holding a contaminated ball and do they need to go into 14-day quarantine?
Yeah, but there is a cure. I don't know if you've heard about this new research coming out about corona. If you pull your pants down in front of a crowd, you're protected. You get the antibodies.
Is that right? Because I thought maybe if you mark the ball, you've therefore got leather poisoning, and everyone knows that leather poisoning overrides COVID.
I suppose if they're marking the ball, well, they're in quarantine already, so actually, it's probably safe.
But if someone in the crowd marks the ball,
yeah, but that's the thing. They're in quarantine themselves because if they're a WA local, so you could say in theory it's safer to kick the ball into the crowd than it is for the crowd to kick the ball to the players.
Now, hang on, how are the crowd in quarantine?
Well, but I mean, the WA's been locked down, you know. So
no, but they're free. Like the Collingwood and Geelong players couldn't leave the ground or their hotels and stuff. They were like a rolling quarantine hub.
Look, this is why I hate questions without notice, Adam. Can I read a headline from news.com.au where I get all of my good news?
About the streaker?
Yeah, second only to the Daily Mail, is the hottest website on the web.
Oh, absolutely.
So it has an article here, the headline, AFL streaker Optus Stadium Perth, break silence after 50,000K hangover. Now, weren't we just waiting? Oh. It was a long 24 hours, wasn't it, Adam? And we're like,
I needed to hear it from him. I needed to know why.
When are we going to hear and share his story?
Mm. Can you imagine though? Because usually, you know, they flash up before a game. What is it, about $7,500, $8,000 fine?
It's always a weird number. It's like $8,342.50. And you go, how did they come up with that?
Yeah. So imagine when he gets off the ground, he goes, "Oh, don't worry, I've got $8,000. I'm a FIFO. I'm not going to Bali this year. I can't ride my fucking jet ski out there. I've got the coin, fellas." And then they go, it's $50,000. Imagine a $50,000 fine. Like, man, in 20 years when he's, or, you know, 40 years, his grandkids go, "Why didn't you ever buy a house, Grandpa?" And he's like, "Well, funny story." Funny story.
And then they hear the story and they go, "Was it a funny story, Dad?"
Granddad, you seem like a bit of a cockhead, Granddad.
But it's also 1 year in jail. Which I imagine you're not going to get that. And I don't think you're going to get the 50, but, I mean, they have lifted the rate. It's a fair fucking whack.
That is huge. Like, that has got to take out a loan to pay a fine. And that's brutal.
I mean, some of us have that kind of cash on hand. But but then also, the idea that 1 year in jail. Like,
yeah, I know.
Again, showing up into the prison, and this is an old joke, but it's like, you know, what are you in for? Got my cock out at Optus Stadium.
Are you in protective custody there because you broke quarantine? And, you know, people are fucking right on it at the moment. Like, I'm in Victoria and we're just about to go into full masks. It's going to be on. So would you have to go into protective custody? Because if you walk out and they go, that's him, that's the streaker.
Dude. I mean, you have to go, what, don't they say, solitary, you go pedophiles and crooked cops?
Yep. And streakers.
Yeah, and streakers. Yeah,
streakers during COVID.
I think we can add that to the list, yeah.
The big three, as they call it.
I remember years ago, a mate of mine, I can't remember if I told you this, sorry. That's it. I had a mate. but I had a mate of mine, and he filmed like a corporate video for a prison, and it was what they showed to the prisoners when they arrived, kind of to show you the process, you know, come in, almost like an induction video.
Yeah, great.
kind of, you know, you go here, put your clothes there, fill out this form, all that kind of stuff. And then he had to film a bit where he went to go and talk to the psych. And and he was just kind of out of curiosity. He said, I'll just answer the questions, you know, as I generally would if I was going into prison. Very method acting.
Yep.
And he finished. And he was like, "Oh, how'd I go?" And the guy was like, "You are going straight to solitary." Because
for your own protection.
Well, yeah, because he said what you meant to. Well, he said for the people who can go out with the normal group. Like, they've got a bit of an attitude of like, you know, I don't care, you know, I'm not frightened. I won't miss my family and friends. But he was saying, you know, I'm generally frightened. I'm going to be, you know, missing a lot of people. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you're in big fucking trouble, mate. Dude, I remember, you know, Pentridge Prison.
I do.
Mean, obviously you do, yeah. So there was a mate of mine, you know how they turned it into apartments or turned a bulk of it into apartments?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so I had a mate of mine who lived there. And
so Pentridge, for anyone who's not from Victoria, is kind of...
It's like Shawshank Prison.
Yeah, it was the most notorious prison in Victoria. Big bluestone motherfucker.
And so one day there was like a door open in, is it cell block H, where Chopper would be?
He was in Jika Jika, wasn't he?
No, I think he was in Pentridge for a while.
Okay.
And then maybe got moved when he cut his fucking ears off. No,
Jika Jika was a division in Pentridge.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe that's it then. Yeah. Yeah. So that door was open. And so we were both like, okay, let's go in. And it was dilapidated and like, you know, roof had fallen in and stuff like that. And you kind of walk past these cells and you could see the kind of indoor yard.
Yep.
And then we kind of got a bit further and there was like another gate open. And we were like, okay, let's go through here. And we were both kind of like trying to be like tough, but also we are fucking terrified right now. And we kind of got into the heart of the prison and we just went, oh, no, we can't do this. And just ran away, like ran out of
there. How old were you?
Oh, like 35. It was fucking terrifying. It was so spooky. It was so spooky walking in there. It was like the dead of winter, probably 5 o'clock, so getting a bit dark.
And it gets in your head.
Oh, and you're looking around, you're going like, nah, man, some bad shit's happened here. I even had a mate. Okay, we'll get back to the football. But I had a mate, I had a mate years ago, and they did tours of Pentridge.
Yeah,
when it was shut
down. I went on one of those tours.
Yeah, gotcha. So I had a mate. He said he went on a first date. I've got some weird fucking friends. He went
first
on a first date on a tour of Pentridge.
Jesus.
And he said halfway through, he kind of, you know, kind of turned to the, you know, the lady and just said, oh, you know, sorry, I'm just having a bit of a tough time because it kind
flashbacks.
Of a few flashbacks because, you know, I did 5 years here. And she was like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, no, I'm just joking. And guess what? It didn't work out.
Never saw each other again. When I did the tour, they took us down into the solitary bit.
I mean, we should be talking football, but we do know true crime podcasts do actually fucking go pretty well.
They do really well. Yeah. We'll get 50,000 new listeners off the back of this. They took me down to like the old school 1800 solitary room. And so they put you in there and they close the door and it's fully pitch black. You can't see anything. And if you put your arms out, you can touch both walls.
No way.
And they said the game that the prisoners used to play was to take a button off their shirt and just throw it and then try and find it.
Oh, dude.
That was their game to stop their insanity.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And then they would become best friends with the button and then they would have sex with it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Prison. But prison's quite a large part of my life by the fact that a multitude of people who educated me throughout the years at Catholic schools have ended up at them.
On to something a lot more exciting, Michael. We have a brand new sponsor.
Yay!
Yeah, no need to sing the Hawthorne theme song, mate. This is a happy, joyous occasion.
You won't believe it. King Tut's Putt Putt have got on board the Jug
Timers
podcast.
They're on board, Jug Timers. Can you believe that?
That is fucking amazing.
I sent them an email and said, hey, we mentioned you on the podcast. Didn't say the context. Hope they don't listen to the previous episodes. But we have King Tut's Putt Putt on board. And if you send us in a footballer in real life from the Gold Coast Hub area, we're going to hook you up. You've got a round of golf on Junk Time and King Tut's Putt Putt.
Now, is it a double pass or is it an individual pass?
Definitely a double.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah. So if you're on the Goldie so the rule is if you spot a footballer in real life on the Goldie, because they're going to be up there for a long time now.
They are.
We'll get to it later, but there's talk of a WAG Hub as well. So do we want to expand it to WAGs? Nah, we'll keep it football. We don't want to infringe.
Yeah, we don't want WAGs actually. We feel grubby that.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
I mean, you know, one of us is happy to stalk their Instagram pages and follow anonymous accounts like Beckjud Loves, but that's just one of us who does that.
So if you spot a football in real life on the Goldie, send in an email to junktimealphapod@gmail.com. Don't put it on Twitter or Facebook. We don't really kind of live. live timing of where they're at. Just send an email that we can read out during the week, at the end of the week. We can fling you via email a little round of golf at King Tut's Putt Putt. Bloody hell.
How about that? And I'll tell you what, if you're single and you're looking to seal the deal of a date, nothing will do it more than getting around. How many holes is it? I've never played there.
It's actually a good question. Yeah,
160?
Well, I actually looked up. They've got a promotional video on the website, so I watched that the other day.
Yep.
And, mate, it's a fucking treat. I mean, if anything, we should be charging people. People should be paying us to get this voucher.
You know what I love about mini golf is they still have 9 and 18. Like, it's going to fucking matter. Like, but you go, how'd you go on the back 9? You go, mate, the fucking windmill flicked my ball out into the ocean. What does it matter?
But if you did mention kind of a date scenario there, I feel like mini golf is a bit of a date scenario. I haven't done that myself, but I feel like that would be a bit of a romantic, well, a little bit of a get to know you while we putt around a windmill.
Yeah, we have a bit of fun, you know. While we, you know, put it into, I'm assuming there's a pyramid there. Is there a pharaoh's tomb?
You would hope, yeah. I feel like, if I remember correctly watching the video, I think it didn't strictly adhere to the Egyptian theme. So I think there are a few different versions.
It branches out.
Yeah. When was the last time you played mini golf?
Oh, mate.
Thank you for joining us at the AFL podcast that we do.
I can't remember the last time I played mini golf.
I can't remember either. I'm not a
huge mini golfer.
There was a fancy one when I went to London for Christmas, see my brother and wife, and the rest of my family came over. There was a fancy one at the Westfield at Shepherd's Bush, which is a massive Westfield, and they had like a kind of flash mini golf there. So my brother took my nephew to that, and then I didn't go in there though, but I took my
yeah, then I had to hand them back.
I took my
nieces. Police caught up with me.
I took my nieces to a place called Kidzania. Do you know what Kidzania is?
I don't know, like an arcade?
Not quite. It's almost like a mini Westfield where the kids work in the shops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like so
that Bugsy Malone kind of film.
I suppose so, yeah. Wow, Scott Baio, Jodie Foster doing some of their finest work, dude.
Yeah.
It
sounds a lot like Bangladesh, where the little kids make the shoes for us to wear.
It's a little bit like, it's kind of corporate. So a lot of the shops are kind of, you know, a bit of a get kids involved in corporatized stuff very quickly. Like you check in and it's like a British Airways kind of check-in. And you get a wristband so that the kids can't wander off, so they can monitor, like, if someone leaves, like, you know, like, if, you know, a four-year-old wanders off, like, you know, they know where they are. And, I mean, I was already wearing my ankle bracelet, so I was fine. But then you can, and they you can create a bank account. So when you work in the shops, you get, I think it's Kidzos, and you can build up that bank account, which I think you then probably kind of redeem it for, you know, something in the merch shop, you know. But they work
it's like your super.
You can work in like a supermarket or like be a courier or be a doctor or be a firefighter or a police person. It was actually really cool.
There's no like mini meth labs?
There was a mini Finx.
He was a sergeant at arms junior.
I mean, that's actually probably a good lead in. Can I tell you a story about this week? And this is football related, folks. Okay, loosely.
Please.
So I had a blank. I was sitting here and I had a blank about Tony Cochran, right?
Okay.
I had a blank about Tony Cochran.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't blankety blanks. You don't have to fill it in. Don't send it in.
Ugly Michael Dave Chamberlain, Bray, what have you got?
Blank. About Tony Cochran. Send us your answers, Junk Timers.
Interesting story about my mother-in-law. I forgot his name.
The Gold Coast chairman, yes.
Yeah. So I typed into my phone Gold Coast. I went to type Gold Coast president, okay?
Yep.
And I typed, I got halfway through the word and I wrote Gold Coast Prezi. And yeah, he's the chairman. I realize that now.
Yep.
And you know what came up on my phone? It said... it said Gold Coast Prezi, and it said Bandidos Gold Coast President, Finks Gold Coast President, and Mongols Gold Coast President.
Really? They're the auto?
Yeah, and
fucking hell.
And I generally, I'm not Googling. I mean, I'm imagining my phone, you know, listens to me. But the only time I really do talk bike is when I'm with you for this half hour. And I was like, fuck, man. Like, it didn't come up, you know, Gold Coast president of, you know, some big corporation or, you know, fucking charity. It came up with the fucking bikey gangs.
What I'd love, though, is if you click through, if it had their, like, you know, bikey profiles. Well, so it's, you know, I loves beating people with, you know, fucking tire lever or, you know, airport bollard, you know.
Oh, airport bollard.
You know, what's your favourite thing to produce? You know, meth, 9mm. You know, just little things so we get to know them as they are. And then, you know, you've got them in action shots in their footy cards.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Surely there's like a bikey, like Tinder app type, you know.
I'd just say that's Tinder, wouldn't you? I don't think that's your, that's not your Bumble.
So anyway, so what we're talking about, King Tut's putt-putt. Hey, mate. Oh, yesterday.
Are we talking footy now? Fucking
I'm talking
hell.
Footy. I think we're about 20 minutes in. I got to tell you, when I watched Robbie Gray put that ball through the high diddle diddle, I got to tell you, mate, I felt horrible.
No, you didn't.
My first thought was with you, you and your family, and all the Carlton fans out there, and I did not giggle. I want to make that categorical. I did not giggle.
Okay, what did you do?
I did not laugh. I did not chortle. And I just want to send my condolences for the way that you absolutely snatched defeat out of victory. Congratulations.
How's go fuck yourself, sir? Fucking hell. Mate, we led the top side at the final siren. That is a really good effort. Sure, we didn't go on to win the game. But it was a... Did you watch any of the game?
I watched... I tuned in like the final 10 minutes. We'll get to this, but I was on the way to Homebush. And so watched it on my phone.
Okay, so you're on your way to see Hawthorn and Melbourne. We'll get to that. But it was actually a really cracking game. So both teams have come out and said that they want to, you know, delight their fans and play fast flowing free footy, and they did. And it was, I mean, it was only nine goals each in the end, which is a bit not representative of what kind of an open game it was. But yeah, it was fucking great.
Sure.
Charlie Dixon was the absolute difference. He is a fucking monster. You know what he is, Michael? You know what he is? He's a competitive beast.
No way. No way.
Seriously. I know no one uses that phrase these days, but he really is. He's a beast and he competes. He's both of them together.
So what do you think happened with him in the end? Okay, so he got that knock on the head. He missed that shot out from about 20 in front. So do you think it was the case that they couldn't get someone off the ground? Or did he... Because he appeared to be waiting to get on the ground, but also looked like the kind of knock where he came off and he got down on his knee. Felt like he maybe needed to do a concussion test before he could go back on.
Well, I think from what they were saying in the coverage, so he did come off with a sort of bleeding eye. He came off and he was a bit wobbly when he got off. I think they were saying it was just because it was a hot day and it just being a really heavy-duty game that he was just kind of fatigued rather than concussed.
Yeah, sure.
But yes, he couldn't get back on the ground. But Port Adelaide should have been ahead way before that. They missed... Fucking Todd Marshall missed from like 8 metres out. Robbie Gray missed. Dixon hit the post from about 15. So they had their chances, and then as soon as Gray got it, you're like, there is nothing fucking surer than this guy kicking from the wrong pocket for a right footer. What was he, like 45 out?
It 45 was a fucking, out on the boundary, yeah.
It was an incredible kick, and, you know, they deserve to win, and good on them.
Who was the Carlton player who blazed away and tried to put it through the high diddle-diddle in the final minute or so when he could have passed it about 15 in front of him?
Yeah, so that was David Cunningham. So he is in the bad books, and especially it was on his non-dominant foot. He couldn't kick 40 metres. It ended up in the goal square. We had our chances to win. They had their chances to put us away earlier. It was just a really good game, you know. So well done to Port Adelaide. They are flying 6-1. They're playing finals, and I reckon they're going to go deep.
I hate to say this as a football fan, but you guys are looking all right. You got a bit of excitement. You got a bit of spring in your step nowadays.
There's a little bit about that. When there's games, you kind of go, we don't go, how much will we lose by? We'll go, maybe we could win this one. Yeah. You know, we're playing North Melbourne this week, right? And so as a Carlton supporter, I go, with North playing the way they are, we probably should win. Mm-hmm. But we haven't beaten North for ages. Whenever we get ahead of ourselves, we fall over. So I'm still in that mindset, the loser, the Brendan Bolton mindset. And luckily, what has happened is we got rid of Brendan Bolton.
Here it comes.
And we gave him to Hawthorn. And now you guys, it was nice seeing him sitting next to the Clarko in the box. Oh, God, I love that shot.
Yeah, fuck.
Let's get on to the Mighty Hawks, how they've fallen.
Well, I think I messaged you on the way to the game saying that if we lost to Melbourne, I was going to jump off Kudos Bank Arena. And that's still not out of the question, okay?
Okay. You're going to head back.
I'm going to get back on the train. But yeah, so I went to the game. So we talked about a couple of weeks when I went along. That was a Sunday night against the Giants.
Yes.
So I'll talk you through. I mean, it was a rough watch for a Hawks fan.
But now, how did you get the ticket to this game? Because you went along as a guest of Alex Williams last time.
Yes, friend of the show. This time, I couldn't get a ticket to the Collingwood one because I wasn't an interstate member.
Uh-huh.
And for this one, I have a feeling that it was either off the impetus of the email when I sent to them saying, you know, how do I get a ticket for the Collingwood game? But I feel like maybe they go through their database and find the people who are in New South Wales.
Oh, so they approached you?
Yeah. They hit me up, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so did you go by yourself or did you find a Melbourne supporter to go with you?
No, I didn't. I went with a Hawthorn friend.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I figure that just on the database, they might just hit up the New South Wales people because this game classified as a home game.
But
also, free ticket.
Really?
Yeah, I would have thought they'd just charge you $20 or something, seeing that, you know, money's tight for everyone.
Yeah, like, I would have thought they'd try to recoup it somehow, but I guess, that's a very nice gesture.
So I reckon maybe there were, I'm very bad with crowds, so I'm going to say 2,000 people.
So does it feel like a VFL game in a big stadium?
Well, here's the thing, man. So at the first game I went to, we sat on the ground floor. So that was pretty much open, and it was open around the entire ground, okay?
A lot of people call that level one.
Yeah, and then there was the top stand, which some people call level two, which for me seemed to be empty, but there could have been a few people in there, but it just seemed like, you know, while anyone got there. So I get there, and I call my friend, and he's running a few minutes behind me, and so I'm just standing behind the goals on the non-scoreboard end, so if you're watching TV, look to the right. And
has the game started? No.
The game has started, yeah. And I say to my mate...
So your friend missed the opening bounce?
Yeah, but I did too, yeah. It was a shocker. It was a nightmare getting there.
What sort of fucking football fans?
No, but you don't understand. Like, my chauffeur didn't show up and so it's very rough. And then he came and he was in a Volvo, not a Beamer. I was like, oh, take that back, Charles. I go to meet my mate, and the guy at the, you know, lack of a better word, security, but I could have fucking taken him. He comes up to me, and he says, oh, are you waiting for food or waiting for a friend? And I was like, oh, just waiting for me to meet a mate. And he's like, oh, cool, yeah, okay. As soon as he comes along, just head up to level two. And I was like, okay, yeah, okay. But he kind of wanted me off the concourse, and I'm like, there's literally no one on the concourse. And it's 10 metres wide. You've been there. Like, it's 10 metres wide. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, they had, I reckon, about 2/3 of the ground shut. So, nobody sitting either on the top or bottom level.
Yep.
So, I meet my mate. He shows up. We wander upstairs. And we have our ticket. But, like, we're just like, it's really a case of, you know, sit anywhere. And I think I was, like, gate 243 or something. And so, we're like, I'll just go through here. And a lady comes up and she's like, oh, if anybody's in your seat, just let me know and I can move them. And I was like, okay. And then we went to sit down and we're like, it's actually quite crowded around here. And so we found a bay that had, like, you know, about 5 rows of empty seats so we could just sit apart from people. Like, we didn't have anyone within us for about 10 metres. And we were like, why have they got us all kind of crammed in?
Bunched in.
One section. Like, when the whole idea is that you can come along and...
Spread you out.
And then went down, I think, maybe at halftime or something, to get something, ate or something.
What did you eat?
I think it was a fruit thing, like a little fruit cup kind of thing.
You think it was? Mate, it was you. You were there.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay, I was. And I I think I couldn't find the food shop kind of thing. And I was kind of walking around. And then a lady came up to me. She's like, oh, so do you know where your seat is? And I was like, oh, yeah, I do. She's like, well, just make sure you get off the concourse and head to your seat, you know, as soon as possible. And it was just, it was a bit weird that they were kind of, they A, didn't have a spread out as much as I would have thought you would.
Yeah.
And then they were so eager to clear the concourse, even though we were not, literally not within anyone for 10, 15 metres. Even if I stood behind the goalist. And by the way, fucking quarter time, I fucking called out to Jack Gunston. He was in the goal square. Called out, give me a wave. He fucking heard me and he didn't give me a wave. That's bullshit. I'm going to take that up. Take that up with JJD when I next see him. So yeah, and maybe I thought they want me to sit in my seat so they can trace, like, who was in what spot.
Oh, okay. But did in regarding that, then, do they know your friend's name? Did you have to give his name while you were there?
He went through a separate ballot, so they would have his details. Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense to understand where everyone's sitting.
Yeah, and then I thought maybe by not having the bottom level open, that they're kind of protecting,
keeping them away from the players.
Oh,
ball.
Yeah. I thought that maybe as well. Yeah. But then I just found it really strange that they had us kind of literally herded into like one third of like the top half of the stadium when they could have just opened up the whole top and let us, you know, separate from each other. Anyway, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Mate, this is not, it's not a time to joke about this kind of thing. It's a good story, though. That should be in your book.
Fucking hell. What, Giant Stadium and Other Disappointments?
Yes, that would be a great book. Can I ask, are you prepared for Hawthorn to begin the rebuild now?
Yeah. No, I mean, we
look, were you angry yesterday, or were you just like, wow, we have really fallen off a cliff here?
We did look fucking rubbish. We did look fucking rubbish.
God, it's good.
I know.
You don't understand.
I know. But, I mean, all I can do is just get out and, you know, watch the DVDs or the nine premierships I've watched in my life. So things are pretty tough.
Is Clarko the man to take you through?
I wouldn't.
When did he start? 2004
end
or three?
End of 2004. So 2005. So 2005. First season,
so he's been there 15 years. It'd be 17 by the time. So some players have had him their entire career.
There would be a player, okay, so if we're thinking about it...
At the moment, there probably isn't, is there?
In, like, 2 years' time, there would be a player, if he's still there, who would have been born after Clarko became coach.
Fuck.
But I don't think they should jump off straight away. I mean, he's got 2 years left, so I think we'll let him see that out. Like,
mate, you got Sam Mitchell waiting there. You know what he's like. He's a fucking low dog. He's going to white ant him. He'll be coached by the end of the season. Nothing surer.
And then it's also a case of often this stuff comes down to, do they lose the players?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I feel like that's often more a case of performance. Like they go, oh, we don't want to, you know, play for that guy anymore. So
we don't want to hear that same message. You just, like, it must be hard for Clarko saying the same shit for 15 years. You'd be like, oh, fuck, I bore myself.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, trying to find a different way to say the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you one message that would get through from Clarko, and that is you don't play injured players.
Oh, you don't play injured players, Adam. We know that.
You can't take the risk, Michael. If it was a grand final, can you get through a whole game? Remember when Simon Prestigiacomo pulled himself out of a grand final side because he didn't think his hamstring would get through?
I know.
And he didn't play and the team fucking lost anyway, so he didn't miss anything.
Yeah, and remember that time that Nigel Lappin ran out and he had a broken rib and a punctured lung and they won?
Yep.
And so therefore it was a fucking genius move.
And he's a hero. So the Kangas have had it I think it's 2 weeks running now, or two out of 3 weeks. They played Ben Cunnington, when he had a sore back, I don't know whether you saw him, he had a sore back and they went, we'll play him, and he got up and he just looked like a 48-year-old who'd just gotten out of bed, man.
That's a really good point. He actually, like, it looked like he'd put on like 15 kilos.
Yeah, because his back was sore, his tummy was like pushed out.
Yeah.
And it was not flattering in the vertical stripes, and you just felt for him, he couldn't run.
Yeah,
and he copped a knock in the back, so he was just like, it was like, oh, fuck, that hurts even more now.
Do you remember that final Juddy played back in 2000 and I'm going to go with six?
Yeah, I reckon. No, it would have been seven because they won in 2006.
Oh, yeah, of course. So yeah, that's right. Yeah, sorry, junk time apology right there.
Yeah.
And he could barely walk.
Yeah, he had the OP real bad.
Oh, dude. That was horrible to watch.
Has, question without notice.
Oh, another has, one.
Sorry. Has syndesmosis replaced osteitis pubis?
That's a really good point. You don't hear about OP anymore, do you?
Never. It doesn't exist, but everyone's got fucking syndesmosis.
What? I haven't heard that one. What's that one?
It's a high inside ankle sprain, Michael. Fuck, you don't pay attention.
I really don't. No, fuck, I've been trying to call Dr. Peter Likens, but he hasn't been returning my calls.
It's a bad one. It'll linger. It can be 6 weeks, it can be 3 months, mate. You don't know.
So is the idea, Adam, as we go into this kind of fixture that might be coming up where it might be playing, you know, every 4 days or something like that. They're trying to cram in
it's
games.
It's like the 6 games in 2 hours some teams are playing. Like, yeah. They are fucking wedging them in there. Well, because, again, North Melbourne did it again on the weekend. Jack Zeebel did his hamstring, had a week off, came back, was out like almost first quarter done. Nat Fyfe came back after a week, had to play the week he came back in the goal square because he'd done his hamstring again. So they're just going, you're going to have to start resting players who have awareness.
And then how much is that on the player and how much is that on the coaching group? Just by the fact, I mean, if Nat Fyfe comes to you and say, I'm fit.
Yeah, I know. You believe him, don't you?
And he's the franchise player of the team. But then if he does do the hammy in the first quarter or whatever, you go, yeah. Well, fuck you, Nat Fyfe. Why'd you fucking say you're fit when you weren't?
And that's where I reckon as a coach then, you need to say to the players, righto, like, because the team suffers then. So you need to say to them, everyone on the list, no one buys Pirate Life until he's back in the team. Like, he needs a financial hit because he's still getting paid as a player. But if any of his outside recreational activities get affected, then he might go, fucking hell, maybe I'll sit this one out because Pirate Life is taking a hit.
Yeah, sure. Like, people, I mean, I don't see him in any ads for that, but I imagine he's getting some kind of sponsorship from Calvin Klein underwear. So people say, you know, hey, no Calvin Klein, because we don't have any money to go into Nat Fyfe's pocket. You know, they should
burn your Calvins.
They should say to the team up there, if Nat Fyfe is going to be lying to the playing group and saying he's fit when he's not, no one is allowed to go and play at King Tut's Putt Putt because he is obviously a minority share owner.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, yeah, they do need to be aware and players need to go, because, you know, when you're young and you're fit, you're just like, no, I can do that. You know, you'd be like, you know, when someone goes, mate, we're going having a big weekend. Do you reckon you can back up from Friday into Saturday? We've got like a boys' day during the day. And you're like, mate, of course I can. Oh. But when you're 30... You got like fucking Alka-Seltzer set up. You've got fucking Hydrolite. You're planning ahead.
Oh, God. If anybody ever in my life said to me, fucking, we had a night out on a Friday night and then said, mate, can you back up? We've got a boys' day on Saturday. I'd kill myself. I'd kill myself immediately.
Yeah, but so that's what happens when you have no mates. You don't get those offers.
Oh, hang out with the boys. I hate that term. Boys. No, I want to hang out with adults. Not boys. I learnt that the hard way. Football is in real life, Adam.
Hit me. We've got a few this week.
Yeah, so we have one right here, and I think he is in for a little bit of a happy little afternoon by the fact that from Sean. Hey, boys, the quick from up here on the Gold Coast, or as we call it now, the home of football, had this one in the chamber for a while. I thought I would send it in now as I really need that King Tut's voucher. Now, this is something we talked about last week. We actually hadn't confirmed.
Yeah. And I know that here Sean's probably taken the piss, but you're going to play golf, my friend.
Late last year when I was travelling, when travelling was allowed, I was in Darwin for a trade show when I spotted a very good-looking, fit gentleman. Oh, I don't remember going to Darwin. Oh, see what I did, Derm. He stood out as everyone else in my line of work runs on schooners and Hungry Jacks.
Oh, that sounds like a boy's day.
After talking to the striking man for a while later on at the pub, he dropped the old, I played a bit of footy back in the day. Turns out it was silky half-forward flanker Matt Clapp from Carlton.
Clapp A.
Clapp A and West Coast fame. And there was this cheeky little photo that he took, but we don't promote the idea of sending in photos of these people.
No, yes, we do. We promote. We won't repost them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but yeah, sure. if you can get snapshots of people doing stuff, then that is gold. Gold pass at King Tut Tut's.
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, and if you have any videos from boys' nights where maybe they might be doing a monstrous line. So, Sean, you are going to score yourself a voucher to King Tut's Putt Putt. We're going to email you during the week, and you can go and enjoy King. Enjoy a round. Enjoy a round.
Yeah, congratulations, Sean. Our first winner.
G'day, guys. The spotting from early February this year in the inner west of Sydney at the Col was in the heart of Burwood Westfield. I will leave the judgment on that location up to you, Michael, considering you reside in Sydney. I just went, I'll go through train on the way to Homebush. You go through Burwood Station. I'm going to be honest. The kids, boys, 6 and 8, were out of control in Coles, and I may have given up in the pursuit of the goods of my lengthy list. Question about the notice. Why do they keep moving shit in these stores? Is it out of spite?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse. But, you know, you go to one Coles and you know the layout, and then you go to another one and you're like, why is that not next to that one now?
Yeah, I've never really thought about that, the layout of supermarkets. Yeah.
Well, almost always when you go in, it's fruit and veg.
Wait, what? When you go in at the front?
Yeah, yeah, it's fruit and veg almost always is the first thing you hit.
Yeah, okay.
Mate, as a superhero who worked for Coles, mate, who do you think designed all these layouts?
That's a really good point, actually, yeah.
Thank you.
This may have been a portent of future days as the kids set themselves up in the toilet paper aisle and decided to reenact an episode of Bluey. Quality show for all the kids, that one. I won't bore you with the final details. Basically, packets of toilet paper being thrown at unsuspecting customers. Bloody hell, if I was wondering, why would it be given those kids a little smack over the forehead? That's not what actually happens in the episode, so they use some artistic license.
Hang on, did you just say you were going to smack some kids in the forehead?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good.
One with the back of the hand. anyway, who should they have thrown toilet paper at? None other than large former crow that has just recently relocated to Sydney, Sam Sauce Jacobs.
Sauce.
He also had the family in tow. He gave me a known look back when I said, sorry, mate, they're just playing out that Bluey episode. Mate, relatable, hey, Sauce?
Oh, absolutely relatable. I'm a little bit concerned about what Bluey is teaching our kids.
Teaching our children, yeah. I think it should be taken off air, yeah.
It's not right. Oh, yeah. You know what? Next episode, Bluey. You're going to the vet, mate.
Yeah.
You're fucking going to the big farm in the sky, Bluey.
Yeah, I think we can all say right now, defund the ABC.
Would you watch an episode where Bluey's put down? I think it'd be a cracker.
On a very special episode of Bluey.
Yeah. The last ever episode of Bluey.
No, but I like the idea that Bluey commits a crime and he gets executed. So they have like his final meal and then his family comes in. I imagine he's got a family and they kind of say their final goodbyes.
And he licks his balls one last time.
Yeah, and then he kind of walks down. And but it's not like hanging or electric chair.
They back over him with a U.
Well, I was going to say beheading, but that's but the ute works as well. Imagine that, mate. I mean, it gets some eyeballs, wouldn't it? And it would teach kids a lot. Don't fuck around.
Exactly.
Don't lead to a life of crime, or you might get.
Yeah, all these shows have morals in them. There's your one.
Bluey gets found smuggling drugs up his butt. to the Middle East. And the irony being he gets caught out by another sniffer dog. Oh, God.
Yeah. He thought he was just sniffing his ass out of friendliness, but he was fucking searching for drugs.
I'm onto you, mate. No doubt that incident was enough for him to question what the hell he was doing in Burwood, then Sydney in general, sending him into a spiral ending with him being dropped a few weeks ago. But hey, it could be worse. It could be still at the Crows. Oh, jeez.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
Anyway, you'll be happy to know I found everything on the list and eventually gathered up the kids who had no idea who Sauce is or was when I told them.
It's disappointing. Kids need to know.
Not a bad one, but this doesn't trump the time I saw Johnny Gestev.
Wow.
West Perth and Brisbane Bears great inside the Hungry Jacks. Chewett Hill. Yeah.
Chewett Hill.
In the burbs of Perth in 1987. Oh, Johnny G.
I'd like to follow up though.
Well, I think it was him.
I saw Johnny Gestev, you sure? Nah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to imagine it was Johnny, but he was quite distinctive and also, probably the next legend in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. And in 87, when West Coast just come in, they were rock stars. So it was Johnny Gestev.
From Mark, not much of a football in real life, but times are tough.
They are.
I was out and about walking my dog. Oh, gee, watch out. Life of crime for that dog could get in Yarraville last week and spotted none other than 2013 Norseman medalist Brian Lake.
Oh.
He was dressed very casually with tracksuit pants and was accompanied by a female companion. Most interestingly, perhaps, he was carrying a small dog. I observed him for several minutes and not once did he put that dog down. Wow, that is funny that we... Oh, yeah, no, I mean, put it on the ground. Yeah. It's just funny that we talked for like 2 minutes about...
Well, I guess it's better that Brian's holding the dog, because if his partner was holding it, Brian's first inclination would be to punch the dog out of her hands.
Well, this would be the thing, though.
Hit the boundary.
I'd like
third man up.
If I saw that, I'd actually say to Brian, how much you pay for that, man? And he'd say, he'd give the price, and I'd be like, fucking bargain, man. Absolute bargain.
Is he still doing the bargains? How's that going with Brian?
I think there's a fair bit of radio silence from Brian of late.
Yeah, good.
From Gus, I have only recently discovered your pod through Two Guys, One Cup pod, and I've been enjoying it immensely. I'm a postie, so doing very well for myself, and get to listen while delivering. Currently working through the back catalogue, as well as keeping what is that, over?
Over? I don't know that word.
I know, I've seen the word. Fuck, man. I hate when I feel dumb, but it happens a lot, as well as keeping up to date with the current eps.
You know what? He's a postie delivering our mail. That is jumper punch central.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah, Gus, be careful, actually. Yeah, for all the people out there, when we do send the stubby holders out there, stubby holders at bigcartel.com.
Yes, junktime.bigcartel.com.
There we go.
You can check out our merch.
It's only been 5 years. I've nearly got it right.
Yeah.
And we actually, unfortunately, have to pop in like about a $7 mailing.
Australia Post fee.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we haven't done it for a while, but in the past, we would encourage people who got the package when the postie came through, just to give them a bit of a jumper punch, just to kind of keep them on their toes.
So, Gus, just be careful, mate. If you are delivering one of our, if it has Junk Time written on the back, just protect yourself, mate. Protect. Well, the head is sacrosanct.
I think we should go a step further by the fact, you know, Gus is a proud member of the Junktime family and helping us out and, you know, providing content here with the email, that we should actually encourage the Junktimers out there not to jumper punch Gus, okay?
Absolutely.
So when you get your package, when you buy your stubby holders, just say to the postie, are you Gus? And if they say yes, don't jumper punch them.
Yeah.
And if they say no, fucking go for your life. Free for all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And Gus will be also responding to you. I've got some other things I'd love you to deliver. So I'll hit you up after this.
I have a few very historical footballers in real life which may be of interest. Almost 20 years ago, I was living in Bali.
Oh, Bali. Fuck. There's got to be a lot coming down the pipe from Bali.
Although living on the Sunshine Coast, it's hard to tell.
Hang on, he says, so
obviously doing better than I am now. Although living on the Sunshine Coast, it's hard to tell. Hey, mate, you were in the firing line for a King Tut's putt-putt, though.
I believe he is. Gussie, you're heading there.
I played a bit of footy for the mighty Bali Geckos. That's cool.
Oh, what? Isn't that where Brian Lake played? This is all coming together, this podcast. Did Brian Lake play for the Geckos?
I feel like he might have, I feel like he might have,
and then he went on to play for Osaka, which turned out not quite great.
The Geckos had a season that involved a few games home and away against the Jakarta Bintangs, the Asian AFL Championships, and a couple of carnivals were arranged. One of which was set up as a kind of post-season...
Hang on, pause. Is there really a team called the Jakarta Bintangs?
I thought that as well when I saw the email. I mean, I imagine Gus is not making this up. I mean, he's a member of Australia Post. They don't lie. But maybe they're sponsored by them.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were formed in 95.
Yeah, so maybe they're filling a bit of cash.
That's a great idea.
One of which was a couple of carnivals rearranged. One of which was set up as a kind of post-season holiday trip in order to attract as many teams as possible with the view of come and have a trip to Bali with a bit of footy on the side. That'd be cool.
Love it. Yeah, would be.
One such year, there was about 10 teams.
And you know what, Michael? Sorry. You know what? When you're playing in Bali, it's perfect conditions for footy.
Oh, absolutely. Year round.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't get a bad day.
One such year, there was about 10 teams, one of which was from Melbourne. The word was these guys are pretty good things, even though amateurs. They came from a very good league where they had a bit of success this particular season. However, they only had 10 players on the trip. Ugh. No biggie. It was a 10-9-a-side on a soccer field with bamboo goals, posts. Yes, I am experienced AFL-X veteran pioneer.
Yeah.
Over the course of the carnival, their team established themselves as favourites with an unbeaten run in their side of the draw, as the Geckos did on our side. Ooh, we're building something. Mm. So we were destined to meet in the final. The final was held on the second day of the weekend-long carnival. By this time, after four games, we had picked up two injuries.
They had picked up two injuries,
so they only played eight players. We offered them one of ours. Don't do that. And they said not to worry about it, as they weren't taking it too seriously.
Can I just say that your attempt at cool commentary lasted one sentence?
Look, you fucking read them next time. We got pumped. Their strategy was fairly simple. Clear out the scoring arc for the Kevin Bartlett archetype. Late 30s, balding, potential comb over who, even though 15 years older than our defender, could still beat him by 5 metres over a 20-metre sprint. Despite myself in the ruck, 6'7", and back then a bit trimmer and fitter than from surfing on the reg.
Okay, I reckon even if Gus wasn't a fan of the show, I don't suggest that you jumper punch him at 6'7".
I think you probably don't actually have to say you Gus. You just see a 6'7" poster and you'd be like,
yeah,
oh,
just assume.
G'day, Gus.
It's Gus.
Oh, hey, listen to Jack John. Being able to leap over the opponent, who was, let's just say, was absolutely reeking of the previous night's overindulgence on the duty-free rum, which was leaking out of his pores in the Balinese humidity and may not have been in peak physical condition. Their other advantage was the guy clearing the ball out of the middle. Anyway, their mid was reading the ball wherever I tapped it, zipping away and delivering to their full forward, consistently laced out, who was about 5 metres away from the closest possible spoil. Effectively, tap, run, kick, mark, goal. Lucky we were playing this team without the full complement and they were under the weather and still killing us. Turns out the midfielder with a bit of skill was none other than Stevie Baker.
As a Saints
fan, I asked their ruck at one point and he confirmed that it was indeed him, although he asked to keep it on the down low as he was not supposed to engage in extracurricular footy and the Saints might be a bit upset. He had been invited to come along to the post-season trip with his mates from the club he was playing with before being brought into the Saints. I'm hoping the statute of limitations has run out on that one for him. Had a few beers after the game with Stephen and found him to be a very nice guy. Not at all the type you would expect from his reputation. Time has dulled the memory of the details, but good bloke to have a beer with.
Well, there you go. That has turned the tables on what you'd expect of Stevie Baker, but I suppose when he's in Bali, that's probably the best time to get him, right?
I think it's stories like these that might lead to a bit of a renaissance of Stevie Baker. Just by the fact, I could see if this kind of story got out, like he could be maybe one of the major media commentators in the AFL, maybe replacing Bruce McAvaney when he decides to pull the pin.
Possibly. I'll tell you what, though. I have no doubt that Stevie Baker in Bali got some serious bargains.
Fuck, man.
Like, imagine him going, I'll give you 300 rupiah. And they'll be like, nah, mate, 400. And then he just turned around and then fucking bang, elbow. Down goes the shopkeeper.
Yeah, sure. He'd just show, like, his thongs that he's actually sharp. Yeah. He's sharpened the bottom.
Yeah.
We are going to hit the road. Thank you for joining us. We are JunkTimeAlphaPod@gmail.com, Twitter, Facebook, Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, Snapchat, TikTok, and the Gram.
Go Blues.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Fuck off.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.